The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Kiefer and Curry, our show that we bring you every week here on Tony Curry Radio. And you never know, it's like Forrest Gump in a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And this week, I'm really in that territory because I've been traveling and have a lot going on. But I've been really inspired, Tony, this last couple of weeks. And of course, sports is a big part of our focus here on the show. And you can make a lot of references to life through sports and the correlations that both have. But I've been really inspired watching so many lower-seeded, seemingly completely overwhelmed teams continuing to do great things and advance in their series. We're on the verge of having two of the lowest seeds in the Eastern Conference in both respective sports of hockey and basketball, both based in Miami, by the way, the Florida Panthers and the NHL, who have already eliminated the top two seeds in the Eastern Conference Finals and now have the survivor, the Carolina Hurricanes, on the ropes, the Florida Panthers, and their counterpart, the Miami Heat, who have already knocked off the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks, eliminated a second team, the New York Knicks, who are a top-four seed, and now have a 3-0 lead and are absolutely stomping the Boston Celtics of sacrilege. So some of those examples really sparked the idea in my mind for you and I to kick around that, you know, all of this underdog mania that we're seeing is really kind of woven into the fabric of this country, because America itself, the idea and the concept and what actually happened to make our country come to life was one of the ultimate underdog stories. And I think it's something that we all respond to well. And if I say the word to get this kicked off to you, underdog, what comes to your mind?
Well, I'm going to take you into, can I get an amen real quick?
Amen.
There you go. Welcome to Our Lady of Tony Curry Radio, because I'm going to take you back to Samuel 17, verses 50 to 53. That is the story about one David and Goliath. We don't have these underdog stories without David and Goliath. By the way, David was 5'8", a buck 60. Goliath, 9'6", weighed 580 pounds. 125 pounds of armor on him. And Goliath said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" That's where the underdog actually came from. And I didn't know where you were going to go with this underdog thing. I thought maybe we were talking about Riff Raff and Tennessee Tuxedo. I wasn't sure if we were going to go to underdog cartoon back in the 60s or not. But yeah, all over the place. In fairness to the Boston Celtics, who obviously were supposed to win this thing, and we did a great show a couple weeks ago. By the way, you can hear all of our shows wherever you get your podcast. Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. We're available on every major industry, and you can hear this show at least 5 times a week on the TKR app. Please download that TKR app. If Jason Tatum doesn't go for 45 tonight, that is the biggest choke job I think I've ever seen from a guy who's averaged 30 points a ball game. Boston needs to win at least one of those games. But yeah, you know, and you talk a lot of politics. We can go back to George Washington. We can talk about all the incredible battles that were won from people that weren't even supposed to be in those battles because they were such huge dogs. The problem I have with underdogs, at least in this country, maybe as a culture as we know it, we love underdogs. And I've got a ton of examples that we can get into on the show. The problem is when those underdogs start winning, it's not fun anymore.
Isn't that the truth? We talked about that in the Final Four, mm-hmm. where so many teams got to the Final Four that really weren't expected to do so. And we talked about before the Final Four, it kind of takes the luster off, though, to have no Goliath in the fight.
It really does, because do you remember the lovable losers, the Chicago Cubs? We love the Chicago Cubs because they were losers. They didn't win a World Series for 108 years. Now, they've only won one since. They've won their last one. The Boston Red Sox, another team that went 86 years in between World Series. Their nemesis, the New York Yankees, won 26 World Series in the time it took Boston to win one. And of course, then they won three more after that. But I mean, I used to love the Boston Red Sox because they were that lovable loser kind of motif, if you will. They were always the underdog. And then of course, once they start to win, the problem is once that underdog starts to win, we don't really want to follow you anymore. And so that's something to look at. But yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And I think a lot of people, and certainly you are in the mecca of the gambling world in Las Vegas. You can speak to this better than anybody because of your son and the fact that you have worked at the Birmingham Racecourse Casino, that for the most part, we love the underdog, but we don't like to gamble on the underdog. We think it's a great story, but most people like the favorite.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's so true. Not only, of course, sports is the easy examples of great underdog achievements, but in all walks of life, you touched on it. America's formation alone, the greatest military power, the richest empire on earth, we were the colonies of that country and said, hey, we've had enough of you but telling us what to do. The reason that we're over here is because we want a different start and want to go a different direction. And the whole idea of forming our own nation in a representative form of government of the people, by the people, for the people was completely revolutionary. And you talk about an underdog. We were not even a country. We're a bunch of loose colonies all on their own with all of their own rules and regulations and procedures. And somehow, some way, a bunch of guys with, you know, very little training with a lot of times crude equipment like squirrel rifles, commanded by George Washington and a couple of other seasoned military guys that, you know, basically had been involved in military pursuits, but not in really the traditional method of going to West Point and all of those things. Somehow that ragtag, and you use the villain on Underdog, which I love the Underdog cartoon when I was a kid. Polly Purebred, she was pretty hot.
No doubt.
And you know, Underdog had a proper motivation because he was always saving her bacon. But you know, the fact that America, who I don't think there were any betting services at the time, if the line on the Revolutionary War. You probably could have had America plus about 5,000. No way that they were going to knock off the British. And not only that, people don't realize in the Revolutionary War, not only did you have to fight the British, they hired a bunch of Germanic guys, the Hessians, which was like a soldiers of fortune, like another army, to be their backup. Yep. So not only were you fighting the British, you were fighting their hired guns, literally. And somehow America prevailed and won. So, but even if you look at so many classic great movies, Tony, how often is the theme the underdog against all odds overcoming everything and becoming the chief executive and getting the girl that he has no chance? And those are the stories that all of us respond to. But in real life, I really love your point there that once they do win, that shifts everything from the emphasis on, you know, who they are and where they're going to just the popularity of everybody rooting for them. Because when you're on top, you're not exactly the most popular guy in the room.
You can make an argument that the United States of America, before we are who we are, were actually the Chicago Cubs of the world. And yes. We're the lovable losers. And then what happened after we became successful? Everyone hates us. We become the New York Yankees of the world, and no one likes the United States of America. And I think, Kip, and I mean, this is pretty easy analogy here. I think that's why a lot of people are willing to give everything they've got to the Ukraine right now to help them try to win this war. Not only because we hate who they're fighting, but because we don't like people who get bullied. We want to help that squad. We want to help that particular situation. You talk about the movies, and I was thinking like Bad News Bears, and I was thinking about American Underdog. I was thinking about The Karate Kid, Wax On, Wax Off, Moneyball, Dodgeball, Kung Fu Panda, which I watched the other night with my kid for the first time, Miracles, Hoosiers, Rocky, and then you talk about The Shawshank Redemption, which is another movie I can't believe I'm in. admitting this, but I saw it for the first time about a month ago. What a great movie.
Oh, you're kidding. I've got to watch it monthly.
It is like one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. It's not that I don't like movies. I just don't have 3 hours to sit by a television or a movie theater. And then, you know, I mentioned Aaron Brockovich a couple of weeks ago. I mean, we love those underdogs. And I mean, that is the idea. I forget who said it. That's why you play the game. That's why you play the game, because you don't know what's going to happen. Do you remember what happened to Purdue in March Madness this past year? Just this past year? They get beaten, of course, by FDU. You had UMBC, who knocked off Virginia a couple of years earlier. You had never had a 16 seed beat a 1 seed. And I don't really even know. And to your point too, and we're recording this show here on a Tuesday, when the Miami Heat take on the Boston Celtics tonight, we've never had a team come back from a 3-0 deficit. And I'm thinking it's got to be just a matter of time before it happens. Now, I'm not going to see the Boston Celtics by any stretch or an underdog. We have to remember too that the Miami Heat actually were a 1 seed last year, so they're only a year removed from being from a 1 to an 8. But I mean, it's just a matter of time before, you know, you start seeing some of these underdogs on any given day actually win a championship or win something they're not supposed to win, much like David and Goliath.
Yeah, for sure. And the Miami Heat's a great example this year because they had a mediocre season. They're hovering around right around 500. They actually had to subject themselves, and if folks aren't familiar with the NBA playoff format, the Miami Heat had to play in a play-in tournament just to get into the field for the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. They played the Atlanta Hawks at home, another team that had Trae Young, one of the great players in the league, but very mediocre in terms of their seasonal performance. And a lot of people down them. They fired their coach halfway through the season. And the Atlanta Hawks went into Miami in the play-in game and actually beat the Heat, which you would have thought in a one-game deal, the Heat would have been extinguished. But no, the NBA is in charge of this, Tony. If the NBA had been in charge of World War II, the Japanese and Germans would still be mathematically alive. But because the Heat then played the loser of the other play-in game, which was the Chicago Bulls, and that was a one-time survival deal. And they did manage to beat the Chicago Bulls. So the Heat entered the 8-team NBA tournament in the Eastern Conference as the very bottom seed, the number 8 seed, and had to play the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks, by far the most successful team in the regular season. And they took them apart, and they have all the classic elements of the great underdog story, Tony, because they have one great super performer who's almost Superman himself, Jimmy Butler, who, when the lights are the brightest, this is the guy you want. If you're in a trench, or you're like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and you're knocked locked down in a barn surrounded by the Bolivian army, this is the guy you want on your team. But Butler really is surrounded by kind of mediocre, because they all stepped up. Bam Adebayo, their center, is fantastic and has really come to life in the playoffs after not a very good regular season. But the rest of their guys are arguably just kind of supporting characters who are all stepping up. And I think that's one of the things I wanted to talk about in this theme as well is, and I know you've been part of these kind of organizations, is there anything in life more enjoyable and absolutely that you look back upon with unbelievable awe? If you just get in with that right group of people and as a collective group accomplish something amazing, the journey is fantastic, the payoff is unbelievable, and the memories last forever. I've been fortunate enough a couple of times to be involved in things that you would kind of consider us underdogs in certain ways, just in business. But if you just have the right formula of people that are pushing the right buttons and making the decisions and the people working behind the scenes to make things happen, I would argue there's very few things more satisfactory than really achieving your result. And in a way, overcoming being an underdog to do it.
Well, and that is why we do the Kiefer and Curry show. That's why I started Tony Curry Radio. I'm a major underdog. A lot of people say, what are you talking about? You've been doing this for 40 years. You know exactly what you're doing. When you're playing against multi-million dollar conglomerates or consolidated radio station companies that can throw all the money they want at a particular thing and you're growing green, that's what makes it so much fun. I'm going to back it up a little bit. First of all, too, you mentioned Jimmy Butler. When you're called Jimmy Playoff or Mr. October, you've got what it takes to take your team to the next level. But the three things as an underdog, and then I'll talk about being part of that wonderful team effort. If you're talking about, you have to have heart. You have to believe you can get it done. And the most important thing, and you mentioned politics, you mentioned team players, you've got to have a leader. You've got to have a leader. You've got to have that one guy that says, listen, get up, go run into the cornfield and get after it. I know we can pull this off. You have to have, now, even some of those leaders will say, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But you have to have a great leader in order to be an underdog to take it to another level. And that goes for any football team, baseball team, you know, even I'll go to, you know, the Jets back in the 60s when you know, Joe made the promise. He was the leader of that football team and everyone thought, you know what, if he thinks we can get it done, maybe we can, and they did. And I know you live a lot of your life through your children. I didn't play a lot of professional I didn't play sports at all. But you know, I was in some intramural leagues and I never really made first rosters or anything. I was a band guy. I played trumpet, but I was pretty good at it. I was second trumpet. But when you're talking about actually watching, I've watched my kids perform at a level because I didn't really play a lot of organized sports. And I do remember, and my kids, you know, don't play travel ball. They're not going to be playing scholarship ball anywhere. They don't have the body types or the heart and passion for that. They love to watch sports, but they don't really like to play them. But to see my kids actually perform at a pretty decent level, or at least get one basket, you know, my son, I'll never forget it. And you were talking about, and the first thing I thought of when you mentioned this, being part of an organization or a team effort where it just comes together and it's so unified. My boy was about 5 or 6 inches less height than everyone else on the basketball team. Was one of those kids where the coach always said, pass the ball, don't ever shoot. Don't ever shoot, Santo. Just pass the ball. He was a good passer. Usually played somewhere in a 48-minute game, maybe 6 or 7 minutes. And the last time that I ever saw him get a chance to play basketball, I think he was about 8 or 9 years old. It was a situation where the ball was in his hand with 3 seconds left. I don't know how it got in his hand. Another kid threw the ball to him. There was nothing else for him to do but to put it up, and it went in to win a basketball game.
Oh, wow.
And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I mean, outside the Miracle or the Reds or the Bengals or anything else, to see my son make a game winning, and it was the only 2 points he scored all year long, and he won the basketball game. And to see, and so when you brought that up, and it was such a team effort, it was such a cool thing to see those boys, and they weren't supposed to win that basketball either. So I mean, you know, underdogs, man. Great topic, because underdogs can play out. And you brought something else too that we could probably do another show on, but just underdogs in life, you know, just having the heart, having the belief, and having that leader, which sometimes is a parent or maybe a coach or maybe a teacher, that can show you the way and say, listen, you're not dreaming big enough. You need to go for it. You could win this.
Yeah. In our short discussion before we started the show, I was honored last night to attend the Nevada State Sports Awards for the year, which is sponsored by the Las Vegas Sun here, which my oldest son, Case Kiefer, is the sports editor, and his partner, the managing editor, Ray Brewer. This was kind of their baby. They put it together. It was a phenomenal night, Tony, and so many young people who have overcome so many different things. And just being a teenager in this day and age with all the distractions and things that we'd never had to deal with, to see some of these kids and the achievements they've done in the sporting realm. And not only that, but scholastically, they also had a Citizen of the Year. Young athletes that have devoted tons of their time to underprivileged folks and people that are in need of various things. And What an inspiring, uplifting event last night at the South Point Resort. Another reason why I was out here this week. My guys shined, and their organization had just did a phenomenal job of shining the light where it needs to be shown in these times where all the news cycles are things that are distressing and terrible. To be in the audience last night and watch that was so uplifting, because in a way, every young person that's trying to find their way are underdogs in the system. You've got to distinguish yourself, and you've got to have that extra something that that really can make you different and make you unique and make you special. And to see these kids recognized last night was, I can't tell you how inspiring and uplifting it was.
You know, and I recited some biblical scripture at the top, and you know where I come from that standpoint. It's for me, it's all in God's time. And it's something that a lot of kids and a lot of adults, I'm 57 years old. I have to remind myself every single day that it's not my plan. It's his. And things will never happen. And particularly in the last 20 or 30 years, since technology has been such a big force in our lives, we want everything right now. I probably started with the microwave. I couldn't believe that we could actually have a sandwich in 30 seconds when it used to take, when's dinner going to be ready? 2 hours. I mean, that's what it used to be like, folks. You'd walk in at 4 o'clock. When's dinner going to be ready? 6:30. It took 2.5 hours to make dinner. And then of course we walk in the door and we can have a hot pocket in 30 seconds and we're good to go for the rest of the night. We want things right now. We want them on our time, and we are not, we always talk about patience being a virtue. We are not patient enough. And that's what I have to keep telling my kid, particularly since he just graduated last week. I'm like, well, you know what? Put your best step forward, have a good attitude, work your ass off, work really, really hard at whatever you decide to do, and just sit back and enjoy the ride and wait for the good things to happen to you. It will. And you don't have to be an underdog at anything in life if you're willing to be patient and work for it, because there are a lot of moving pieces. A lot of things have to happen sometimes for you to actually find your platform or your justice and your reward in life, and just be patient with that, and it'll happen for you.
Great stuff. You know, I don't want to run out of time before I mention what I think is one of the great underdog stories of all time, not only from the achievement, and it was in the sports realm, but in 1983, Tony, the North Carolina State Wolfpack, coached by Jim Valvano, was a Final Four team. One of the other teams was an SEC team, Georgia, the only time they've ever been to the Final Four. But the other two teams were the Houston Cougars, who were just ridiculous. Three NBA stars, two Hall of Famers on that roster, Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, and the Louisville Cardinals, who were just stacked and I think only lost two games all that year. And those two teams played in the first round, while North Carolina State and Georgia played in the other game. Just the way the tournament rolled out, North Carolina State ended up beating Georgia in one of the ugliest NCAA games ever. I think the final was 50-47. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in the other game, Houston and Louisville, it was like 105-102. I mean, it was as spectacular a game as you'll ever see in college basketball. I think when the Monday night final rolled around, Houston with Olajuwon and Drexler were a double digit plus favorite. I think they might have been 16 or 17 point favorite over NC State. And somehow, some way, the North Carolina State Wolfpack took them out of their game and hung around just enough to get to the end in basically a tie game. And everybody remembers the air ball thrown up by Derek Wittenberg. Yeah. And the follow-up, I mean, landed right in the hands of an NC State player under the basket who laid it in, Lorenzo Charles, at the buzzer. And remember the scene, Jim Valvano just running around in circles in his suit.
Looking for someone to hug.
Disbelief. It was just shocking. And to know the rest of that story, how Jim Valvano just a couple of years later contracted just a terrible form of cancer and tried to soldier on and continue to coach his team. And of course, the very first ESPY Awards is something that if anybody has forgotten about that speech that Valvano made, the event was, I think, in Washington, D.C., the day of the event. And Valvano was supposed to give kind of the keynote speech to kick off. what at that time was actually sports awards. Now the ESPYs is, I don't know what even to call it. It's gone so Hollywood and it's all entertainment. But in its purest form, it was a great idea. And Valvano was supposed to give that speech. Mike Krzyzewski, the Duke coach, a good friend of his, went to take him to the jet port for them to fly up to Washington. And he was so sick that they could barely revive him and get him out of bed, and said, well, we'll just go ahead and cancel because you're just in no condition to go. And he said, no, I'm going. And somehow drug himself up, and they got to Washington and they got him in his tux. And he went out, supposedly, even up to the minute that he made that speech, they thought he was not going to make it. So you talk about an underdog. Yeah. And somehow he found in himself the strength and the courage and the resolve to really set the tone for all of this movement in sports and life, and gave the ultimate underdog speech, where, you know, saying that this might not save my life, this fundraiser every year, but it might save the lives of so many others. And he classically, Tony, you remember the words that still are just resonate in my mind every day. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Mm-hmm. And that is the call to action for underdogs everywhere. And I thought we really had to include that in this show because Valvano's words, go back in YouTube and watch that speech. If you ever have a down day, it will lift you up so high. At one point, they gave him the signal that he was out of time. And yeah. He's like, what about this guy? He's telling me to wrap this up. He goes, he kind of said me and kind of put her name something. And he said something in Italian, which I think was the F-U in Italian.
It's like, I'm dying up here. What are you talking about? You're not taking my time.
It was amazing. And great go back story. And watch that speech if you ever have a down day, because if that doesn't pump you up, you don't have a pulse.
Great story. Great, great story. And I'm so glad that you went through that story as one of our great underdogs, because there are so many different facets of underdogdom, if you will, to that particular story. You know, I always tell my kids, you hear this a lot, you may have won the battle, but I won the war. Well, you can't win a war unless you win battles. And the other thing I always tell my kids is pick your battles. Pick your battles. Pick the ones you think you can win. And then sometimes you're going to have to pick some battles that you're going to have to win, or you're going to have to at least compete in those particular battles. You can't win wars unless you pick battles. And you know, it's not always about winning a championship. It's about winning. You know, you ask UMBC or you ask FDU if they thought they were successful in those years when they knocked off a one seed. They're playing with house money. You're out in Vegas, you know what house money's all about. And when you win some of those battles, you don't need to win it all in order to be a winner in life and be a true underdog. Great show today. Thank you so much. I love that. I'm already looking forward to next week because we've got the NBA playoffs continuing. Looks like it's going to be Miami and Denver. And, of course, the playoffs start next week on June 1st. I'm going to ask you about some of our biggest superstars in our life. We talked about Choke Jobs and Jason Tatum. I don't know what's going on with that guy. Fourth quarter against the Philadelphia 76ers, he goes off after he started. I think he was 1 of 14 or 1 of 15. I'm like, where have you been? But I want to get into what makes a true great player. It doesn't have to be necessarily NBA. But I just look at guys. I knew LeBron was going to go for 40 last night. Everybody on the face of the earth knew that LeBron was going to go for 40 last night. I can't say Jason Tatum's going to go for 40 tonight, despite the fact that they're going to be eliminated here in the next couple of games. I can't say that. So what separates those great players from those guys who get max contracts, i.e. Klay Thompson? I love Klay Thompson, but I don't even know if he's going to show up from night to night. He could have a game. And also, I'll go a little deeper. Is it fair for us as sports fans to see a Jason Tatum, and I'm not just harping on him or hammering on him, but it's topical, to see him go for 51 one night and expect him to show up at that level every single night? We don't expect anyone to score 50 every single night, but when you score 51 one night and the next night you're starting the evening going 0 for 8, what is that? And what kind of player does that? And don't tell me it's great defense. It's not. It's heart. LeBron, everyone knew LeBron was going to get the basketball last night. He shot 15 of 25. He was 9 of 10 at one point. He had 31 points in the first half. That's the kind of guy, and he's 38 years old. That's the kind of guy I want on my team. I want you to discuss NBA players, guys that you love to have on your teams, and guys that, quite frankly, you just don't know if they're going to show up from night to night.
That's great.
So we'll get
great
into that.
Topic.
We'll get into that next week. Close us up, man.
Well, I just want to say how much I enjoyed our discussion, like I always do, and I hope folks out there do as well. We always love hearing from you. So if you have some thoughts on the subject, give us your great underdogs. And looking forward to talking on Kiefer and Curry again next week, Tony. It's been a great, been a blast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.